Welcome back in. Time for a little fantasy frenzy. Getting into fantasy football talk with Scott Smith, fantasy football and betting analyst for at444.com. How you been, Scott?
Good, man. How are you guys doing?
Doing great. Getting ready for the season, obviously. And curious your take here. A lot of folks now this season, it seems like everyone, that number one top overall pick, if you have it in the draft, it was like a shoe-in for Christian McCaffrey, but it's been a little cutesy lately, I'm seeing. Like, maybe it's some folks going Bijan, some folks going Breece Hall. Just wondering your take. Is it still definitely taking with Christian McCaffrey if you have that number one overall selection?
Well, one of the things I think it depends on is what your league format is, whether or not you're in a standard league or a PPR. Another thing is, look, Christian McCaffrey's getting a little bit older. He's got some miles on the tread there. And so I don't think you can go wrong if you go ahead and take one of Christian McCaffrey, and you can even go with either the two wide receivers in CeeDee Lamb or Tyreek Hill. But definitely grabbing one of those top three running backs in the first round is a smart decision this year.
So, okay, Scott, I have a draft at 8 p.m. tonight, so this is going to be a make or break 20 minutes or so where you decide who I'm going to draft. That's kind of a joke, but it's also not. I'm curious what your strategy is. So I'm in a 2QB league, and, you know, I'm usually wait on the quarterback guy, but in this league I've been in for a few years, like, if I don't take a quarterback in the first round, I almost always come in, like, 10th. I'm just curious, what is your strategy in a 2QB league? Would you reach in the first two rounds for a quarterback, or would you take one? What would you typically do there?
I don't think you need to reach for one. I think generally you can go through the first two rounds in super flex leagues like that, where you start two quarterbacks, and you can go ahead and grab the best player available, whether it be a running back or a wide receiver. And I think in that third and fourth round, the thing that I would look to do is to go ahead and go with a quarterback that you can get in a value, somebody like Brock Purdy, who has three weapons that are getting there drafted in the first three to four rounds. Another guy like Jared Goff, who I like a lot, and you can even go ahead and try to pair him with one of the rookie quarterbacks in Caleb Williams or Jaden Daniels. Jared Goff's a guy who plays 14 out of his 17 games this year indoors. He's significantly better indoors, averaging 23.17 PPR points indoors versus right under 13 points per game outside. So Goff's a guy that I trust in that Lions offense, that has a really good offensive line and really good coaching there.
When you're looking at some of the folks talking about Justin Jefferson, obviously he's going to be a first-round pick in the fantasy format, I think all fantasy formats still, but it seems he's taken a little bit of a knock in his where his draft slot is just because of the quarterback this year. Is that fair for you think, or is Jefferson still a high-end first-round selection?
I kind of have him in the middle of the first round. At this point in time, with some of the shenanigans going on with Jamar Chase and his contract like desires right now, I actually have Chase behind Jefferson. Look, I think it's fair to say that you're going to have a little bit of an efficiency drop-off there, you know, going from Kirk Cousins to Sam Darnold. But that offense is still run good. And you also have to factor in that T.J. Hockenson is going to start the year off, probably miss about six games. So I think the volume is going to be there to make up for lack of efficiency. I still see Justin Jefferson, when you look at the Vegas odds, they have his over and under as like 1,250 yards. I think that's more than reasonable expectation for him sitting there in the first round.
You know, so I feel like fantasy football, every year we look at it and we're like, oh, well, this guy was great last year, so I'm going to draft him based off of what he did last year. But it almost always seems like, hey, there's – I don't know what the percentage turnover is, but there's always almost always a significant turnover of like, oh, this guy was expected to be here, he's really here. Who would be some players that you would look at and say they're kind of primed for a drop-off from the season that they had a year ago and currently might be getting a little overdrafted?
Rashad White there in Tampa Bay is a guy that I have some concern about. He finishes the running back five in PPR leagues last year, and he really had no competition, you know, last year as far as running the ball. He was not very efficient. He did a lot of what he did off of volume. Bucky Irving got drafted out of Oregon in a fourth round, has looked good. And the real issue they have with Rashad White as far as the coaching staff is he kind of dances around the line a little bit before he hits the hole, kind of like Le'Veon Bell used to do, but he doesn't have the same vision as what Le'Veon Bell has. So the coaches really have, you know, liked what Bucky Irving's put on tape there in the preseason, the way he hits the hole. He's a little bit undersized, but he has held up in pass blocking scenarios. So I think Bucky Irving will be a little bit of a surprise, and I expect Rashad White to have a little bit of a dip from what he did last year, and he's a guy that I'm kind of shying away from.
All right, and now the important question, What is your read on Alvin Kamara in fantasy leagues? Because I've seen a lot of variation of, like, you know, this is a guy who could potentially be, you know, a top five fantasy scorer, or he could fall off a cliff and not do anything. It's a new offense. Where would you draft Alvin Kamara if he was on the board? Where would you be willing to strike for Alvin?
Well, I think his value is accurate where his ADP is at currently at the top of the fifth round. You look at what he did last year, and again, we talk about what format you're playing in, whether it's half PPR or PPR. Naturally, in those formats, with the way he receives the ball, he's going to go ahead and have a lot more value than what he would in a standard league with the percentage of points that he puts up from receptions. But I think his upside's still there. I think the offense is absolutely going to be better than what it was, and just, you know, how it's been stagnant. And you look at specifically, you know, how Carr likes to throw the ball and dump it off to running backs. I think the value for him is still there. I like him there in the fifth round and would definitely consider him, you know, over some guys like Rashad White that I just mentioned and you know, some other guys that are sitting there in that same range.
Yeah, the other guy I'm looking at is Joe Mixon. He's intriguing just because that pairing with C.J. Stroud and that Texans offense with all those wide receivers, it feels like that's a great opportunity for him. And he's kind of sitting there, what I'm seeing is like RB 16. Would you say that's low for him? Because it feels low.
I don't think it's low when you look at what his efficiency metrics have been over the last couple of years. He had all the opportunity in the world with Cincinnati last year and really struggled kind of within that 10-yard line and to punch some of the touchdowns in. I think he's going to a little bit more stable offense as far as the offensive line goes there with the Texans. But I think his value is right there in the middle of the fourth round. I'd feel comfortable taking him there. If you go wide receiver early in the first three rounds, you know, both him and another guy like Kenneth Walker are two guys in the fourth round I'm comfortable with having as my first running back if I draft, you know, a wide receiver early there in the first three rounds.
Scott, when you're looking at some of the guys that broke onto the fantasy scene last year, big time, were Kyren Williams, Puka Nacua, obviously both on the LA Rams. Just wondering for you, who could be those really under the radar running backs or wide receivers that you think could surprise folks that aren't really considered, you know, high to mid-round draft picks even?
Yeah, one of the guys that I'm looking at, Jerome Ford, is going to be the starting running back in Cleveland. Nick right. Chubb, like, shredded his knee last year. And Jerome Ford's a guy that's going in the 10th round right now. I think there's a lot of opportunity to go ahead and draft him. You can also go ahead and pair him with the running back Jonathan Brooks out of Carolina, because he's going to go ahead and start off the year on the PUP list. I think Jerome Ford offers a lot of value, both in the 10th round and as a PPR standalone value, if Nick Chubb comes back late in the season. But you don't know exactly how that's going to play out as far as how the recovery is going to go for Nick Chubb. He's had multiple knee injuries. And I think Cleveland in particular is going to go ahead and transition to a little bit more of a passing offense than what they traditionally have. They've got some offensive line improvements as well. But I think getting a guy like him in the 10th round and pairing him with a rookie like Jonathan Brooks, who was the top running back drafted, who I think as he gets healthy, he's going to come on stronger later in the year, very similar to what Breece Hall did last year. I think pairing two guys like that at running back can make a lot of sense if you go wide receiver early.
Yeah, so this is kind of more of a broad question, but you know, it's always interesting to me. There's all these different strategies you can employ. You know, zero running back is always fun because I think it kind of forces you to scour the waiver wire each week trying to find that running back that might come onto the scene. And I remember Jordan Howard one year, I was able to find him. It was rookie season. And I found him because I desperately needed a running back because I didn't draft any. And I think it's interesting. But do you have a favorite strategy? And obviously it'll change based on kind of the league you're in. But in a standard scoring league, do you have kind of a favorite strategy? Say you were drafting fourth or fifth in the first round, what would be your go-to kind of draft strategy?
Yeah, definitely in a standard draft, drafted in that 4 to 5 range, I'm looking for one of the big three running backs, whether it be McCaffrey, Breece Hall, or Bijan Robinson, to go ahead and drop down. Definitely, you know, anchoring my team with one of those top running backs. And in the second round this year, it's kind of been no man's land where you either have to reach for a wide receiver or take one of the running backs. I would go ahead and try to double dip at running back and get one of the other running backs, whether it's a Jahmyr Gibbs, a Kyren Williams, a Travis Etienne, and even taking a huge swing with as dynamic as what Devon Achane was there last year. I don't mind going ahead and starting off running back heavy in standard leagues. I think there's a lot of value there in rounds 3, 4, and 5. with guys like Rashee Rice is has been drastically underdrafted all year because people are worried about his legal issues. But, you know, you can get those guys that I project to have, you know, wide receiver one type of upside there in rounds 3, 4, and 5. So starting off very running back heavy in rounds 1 and 2 in standard leagues makes a lot of sense to me.
Scott, what should we expect out of a guy like Derrick Henry going into this season? Obviously, it seems like a perfect fit for what he does paired up with the Baltimore Ravens. But obviously, he's up there in age now, and you have a quarterback, too, that eats up a bunch of rushing yards as well.
Yeah, for me, I'm fading Derrick Henry, and it's not one of those things where I necessarily think that he's going to have a bad year, but there is that age cliff that always comes. Look, he's got a lot of wear and tear on his body. He's a bigger back. Eventually, he's going to go ahead and fall off of that cliff, and he's one of those guys this year that I'm willing to pass on, and if somebody beats me with Derrick Henry, it's just a decision that I've made because I'm going to go ahead and pass on him. I would just rather some of the younger running backs that have less wear and tear on their body, and that's just my personal preference. But, you know, if he's your guy, go ahead and swing at him. It's just not something that I'm going to go ahead and do, and it's really just, you know, for the wear and tear and the age cliff that he has.
Yeah, I kind of feel like Derek is in a situation where it's not unlike Taysom Hill, where it's like you kind of watch the offense and you understand, okay, this might be positive for the offense. I think it's not necessarily a bad situation in terms of the production, but from a fantasy perspective, I don't know if the ceiling is as high as I want it to be. Is that kind of your read on it?
Yeah, for me, I just think there's a lot of danger there. Specifically, when I'm drafting within the first four rounds, I'm going for, you know, safe upside, and I think Derrick Henry has that danger there. And, you know, specifically when we're talking about Taysom Hill, I actually have Taysom Hill as a sleeper this year. Last year, he finished as a tight end 12 in PPR leagues, and when you start looking at it over the history, over the last 2 years, you know, inside the 5 yard line, both him and Kamara have the same amount of carries with inside the 5 yard line. I think when you look at the upside and the difference making games that Taysom Hill can have going into a new offense where he might have a little bit of a Debo Samuel type of role with you know, Kubiak and all coming over, I think Taysom Hill, if you miss out on all of those early tight ends, like the top 8 to 10, I don't mind taking a swing at Taysom Hill and pairing him with another, you know, upside tight end late, whether it be like a Noah Fant or Zach Ertz or somebody that you can depend on. But I think Taysom Hill's got some upside this year.
Yeah, I've never seen anyone madder than the guy I beat when the Saints faced Seattle a couple years ago, and Taysom had like 5 touchdowns. He had 40 points from the tight end position. But, you know, it is funny you bring that up because, like, I get some angry people in my Twitter mentions every now and then.
No.
When I tweet about Taysom Hill, and it's like, you must be an Alvin Kamara fantasy owner, because like there's no one who hates Taysom Hill's usage more than Alvin Kamara fantasy owners, because it feels like he's just vulturing touchdowns. And I do like it's like if Taysom didn't exist, I feel like Alvin's ADP would be a lot higher.
Yeah, I mean, definitely. And just you start looking at Kendra Miller, who was a guy that a lot of people had as a sleeper coming into this year. The injury issues that he's had, you start looking at the rest of the depth there at running back. And with them using Taysom Hill and with Alvin Kamara getting a little bit up there with age, it just makes sense. You know, you're going to go ahead and ride Taysom Hill and get as much as you can out of him with the Swiss Army knife that he is. And look, like he's been successful there. When you get down to that 5 to 10 yard line, he's had success. So it just makes sense from a coaching standpoint.
Scott Smith of 444.com. You get all your fantasy advice there. Tell us a little about 444.com. Scott, what can folks log in and find on there?
Yeah, so right now we're in the thick of things for fantasy football. We have an aggregate ADP rankings list where you can go on there and you can have an average of all the ADPs for the different sites, whether it be ESPN, Yahoo. We've got our DFS content. We've got MMA betting content that I do. You know, we've got, you know, a whole list of things, and right now we're actually going ahead and doing some promos, $10 off your first month if you use code TROPHY. And look, you know, anything that you need, we have on there, from betting to fantasy football, DFS lineups. You know, we're kind of a one-stop shop for the fantasy football season.
Yeah, I know. Folks got to love this. Right on the front page, it says 92% of subscribers made the playoffs last year, so that's a huge plus.
Yeah, we've got a whole crew putting in a lot of work right now.
I appreciate the time, Scott. Be talking to you a lot during the season, and good luck drafting. I know it's a big draft weekend for a lot of folks.
Yeah, good luck to you guys tonight.
Thanks, Scott. Appreciate it.
Scott Smith, fantasy football and betting analyst for 4for4.com. Check out all his work there. Looking forward to another draft we're going to have coming up. What is it, Wednesday, Jeff? Me, you, Charlie, and some of the other folks here at WWL.com. Getting ready for our fantasy league. Last year, I came in the third spot.
I forgot the league existed after a couple of weeks. So hopefully this year I can remember it. You guys like to use ESPN. I'm a Yahoo guy. I tried to convince you to make this shift, and y'all said no.
So. I've been Yahoo, ESPN, wherever you want me to draft, I'll go. But I hear you. I do like the interactive Yahoo app a lot better.
I just have so much bandwidth for apps on my phone. I open like 4 a day, and then I stop.
We'll see. Maybe if you get the top pick in this year's draft, you'll pay attention more.
No.
No?
We'll see.